Normally, in an offering sermonette, people will turn over to Deuteronomy 16, and in verse 17 there it talks about giving as we're able, and specifically talks about according to the blessing that we have been given by God. When we read something like that, or listen to something like that, we normally think of monetary blessing, or blessing in flocks and herds and so on. And I know that this particular week, I would have thought that many of our minds would go to somebody like Steve Jobs, who died just about, 2 days ago? Wednesday it was. And for those of you that don't know, although most people do, he actually was the really a mover and shaker in the Apple Corporation. And many of the things that have come from the Apple Corporation have come really as a result of him, of Steve Jobs. He was the name linked to Apple. His personal fortune, as I say, is about $8.3 billion. Altogether, that's a personal fortune. That's not counting Apple itself, which is counted as a separate entity, but his personal fortune is that. And when you're looking at the various quotations, PC World had this to say. It said, Jobs will be remembered as a computer visionary, but also as a maverick who pursued a doggedly independent path for Apple that could make it frustrating for partners to work with him, but also allowed it to produce unique products. Another thing that was brought out, which I didn't realize, is that Jobs ran a hugely successful Pixar animation studio. Now, Pixar is the, remember the thing that you see where the little angle-poised lamp jumps on top of the letters and knocks it down in the various animations that you've got, and they've been exceedingly successful. But he was there for about 20 years before selling it to Disney in 2006 for $7.4 billion. So again, his share is of that would be quite substantial. After his return to Apple in 1996, working with the designer Jonathan Ive, Jobs launched a string of products that were admired and emulated for their elegant, sometimes daring design. His brightly coloured iMac computers were a sharp break from the two decades of beige PCs that had gone before them. The iPod was a breakthrough in portable music players, which, coupled with the iTunes store, changed the music business forever. And the touchscreen iPhone and iPad created a whole new category of products. So he was really, when you look at the list of things that he's actually been involved in, it's quite substantial. But I just want you to think, even if things are going to go on, everything is going to go on from this point forward, what would Mr. Jobs be looked upon? How would he be looked upon in 100 years from now? I mean, can you imagine what computing, I mean, if everything was to be able to remain on an even keel, which of course it's not, looking at the latest news, it's going to be anything but an even keel. But if it were, if by some blind chance it was able to maintain an even keel, even 20 years from now, the iPad, the iPhone, the whatever, and 100 years from now, the whole thing, it would be historical. It would be like reading about James Watt of the steam engine. That's really what we'd be looking at. He is a historical figure, and that's all that would be there. But you know, he has made a name for himself in this world. There's no question of that. Steve Jobs is a name that really, you know, you say to most people involved with the computing industry, they know the name. But you know, we are offered a name, and the offering that we'll be giving today is to allow us to be part of something. It allows us to be, every single one within the church, to be have a part within the work, within what God is doing at this present time. And it's a part in something, that part really is absolutely fantastic. It's absolutely mind-numbing. Steve Jobs has nothing on it at all, under any circumstance, but we are offered that name. And if you turn over to Genesis chapter 11, and just read what was said here to Abraham. Well, first of all, in Genesis 11, let's read something that precedes Abraham, because here in Genesis 11 it talks about the whole earth being one language and speech, and they went to Babel. And it says in verse 4, and they said, go to, let us build a city and a tower, whose top may reach up to heaven, and let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. So the entire earth, the Babel and the Nimrod and Semiramis and so on, it was all about having a name, having something which, you know, he was a mighty one in the earth, and making that name prominent. And yet you see in chapter 12, which is on the other side of the page from my in my Bible, it says about the Eternal having spoken to Abram, and it says in verse 2, "And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing." So it was a name that was actually going to be given to Abraham. And quite frankly, beyond Jesus Christ, you know, below Jesus Christ, Abraham is going to be the next top spot in there. So his name is going to be fantastically great. And he put all his effort and all his energies and everything else went into being obedient to God, seeking God's will, doing what God wanted. And that included even his financial side, because I mean, when he pursued the kings, he gave Melchizedek a tithe of all. So even on the financial side as well, that was all part of the process. And this, as far as offerings are concerned, it's the same thing as far as we are concerned as well. Turn over to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Because here in Isaiah 55, it talks about God and his, it says, "Seek the Eternal when he may be found," in verse 6. "Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Eternal, and he'll have mercy upon him and to our God, and he'll abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, says the Eternal." And you think about this eternal being. I mean, this is Jesus Christ speaking here, but the Father as well, both of them together. An eternal being that having no beginning of days, no end of life. I mean, I sometimes, when I get on my knees and pray in the morning, I say, well, you know, my prayers, what are they to you? I mean, it's almost, I almost think of it like a child in the womb that kicks the side. And he's got a communication with the Father that's on the other side. And that basically is as much as I can really express what's going on, because quite frankly, my mind can't even grasp this being I'm addressing. But nevertheless, he's interested. He's interested that we do pray, that we do in fact communicate with him, just the same as a father that touches the womb or the outer part of the womb of a child. "But my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways," says the Eternal. "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And he starts talking about the way in which the rain comes down. He talks about the word be that goes out of my mouth in verse 11. "It'll not return to me void, but it'll accomplish that which I please." And part of that word is the fact that we take up an offering on the holy days, or three seasons in the year, including this Day of Atonement as part of the tabernacle season. "For you shall go out with joy." So here is his word. This is looking forward into the future. This is the being involved. This is the name. This is part of the what we're involved with. "For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing. And all the trees of the field shall clap their hands." It's a poetic language, but it's saying, look, there's an abundant time coming. An amazing time. "And instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall be to the Eternal for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." And that name is going to be to the Eternal. I mean, the Eternal is the one who's going to be the one who has the name. But it's also all those that are there assisting him. It's also those that are assisting him now that have been given a chance at this particular time. But it says, "Thus says the Eternal, keep your judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that does this and the son of man that lays hold on it, that keeps my Sabbaths from polluting it and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Neither let the son of the stranger that has joined himself to the Eternal speak, saying that the Eternal has utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I'm a dry tree." In other words, don't look at things like that. Don't even consider that, he says. "For thus says the Eternal to the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths." In other words, if we're focused on the right things. "And choose the things that please me." Now, this, one of the Sabbath days is the Day of Atonement. Part of the Day of Atonement is actually taking up an offering. "And doing the things that please me, and take hold of my covenant, even unto them will I give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than sons and daughters, and I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off." That's what it is. Steve Jobs, he's dead. He's had a name in this world, a name far more than anybody else in this room or anybody else listening to me. as far as the human sphere of things is concerned. But here we see that God, his thoughts, his thinking, the thinking of this being who is wanting to go ahead and give us all things eventually, is to give us a name, give us something which is beyond almost comprehension when you really think about what is involved. Final scripture, turn over to Revelation 3, Revelation chapter 3. Because when you think about it, put in your notes, this is Philippians 2, verse 9, it talks about how about Jesus Christ. And it says there about God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth. So the name of Christ is going to be the name. It's going to be the one that everybody looks to in the future and for generations to come. But you see, be aware that there's also another scripture as well here in Revelation chapter 3. It says in verse 11, it says, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which you have, that no man take your crown." Now, it's the crown that we're looking for, we're looking towards. And this is why this is what we're doing it all for, basically, is to have a part in the future, have a part to make a difference, have a part in being involved in something, quite frankly, fantastic when we're looking into the future. But I want you to notice what he then goes on, it says, "Him that overcomes will I make a pillar," that's a, you know, something that's going to support the roof, support all the actual structure in the temple of my God. "And he'll go no more out, and I'll write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I'll write upon him my new name." So we are going to have a name. We're going to have a name underneath Jesus Christ, yes, for all eternity. But it is going to be a name worth having. And as I say, Steve Jobs, he died last Wednesday, age 56. He died of pancreatic cancer. All his technology is going to be history come 100 years from now. But what we're involved in, and what we're involved in actually doing today, in giving an offering, that name is going to go on for eternity. It's something which is an eternal name. It's something which is an eternal act. And it's important, therefore, that we do look upon this offering in the right way. Now, what we will have as we take up the offering, we will have a piece of music. We'll have a recording of Sylvia Duke singing Psalm 68, a very appropriate psalm for this particular Day of Atonement. "Let the foes of God all scattered now."